Bruchim Abom, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night Parsha class. Today's date is Chofal of Sivan Tavshin Pei Beis, corresponding with the English calendar, June 20th, 2022. This week's Parsha is Parshat Shalach. It's the infamous story of the Jewish people having spoken Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, and it is the cause for our Gullus till today in being in exile for so many thousands of years. The destructiveness of this story is something to bear in mind, because there are many lessons to be learned. If I would give this parsha a title, it would be a concept that Hashem deals with humanity and the Bnei Yisrael in specific, with the rules of B'derech She'odim Rotzo Leilech Malichin Oso. In the way a person wants to be led, Hashem will lead him. If he wants to be led in a proper, productive, holy way, Hashem will lead him and help him. If a person wants to live in a corrupt and a criminal way, Hashem will let him do it. And of course, he will learn the hard way. Another concept we're going to learn from this parsha, how Hashem is so keen on Derech Eretz Kodma LaTaira, how to be able to live a Torah life, it must be perceived and prefaced with Derech Eretz. The story of the Meraglim is the story of both of the quotes I've just quoted you. The way a person wants to be led, Hashem will lead him, and it's directed with Derech Eretz, Kodma LaTorah. Now let's begin the story. We are all familiar that the Bnei Yisrael asked Moshe Rabbeinu to be able to spy out the land so that they would consider themselves equal to other countries and to investigate which way would be the best way to conquer the land. But when they did that, the Chumash in Sefer Devarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chof Beis describes, "Vatikrivun Elai Kulchem." And the Bnei Yisrael, in a confused and disorganized group, approached Moshe and said to him, "We have to send men out to spy out the land. And they will come back and report to us the derech, the path, Hashanalaba, which we will go up to it," and so forth. This particular request was taken with a very, very negative response. They didn't come with the same derech eretz that the Bnei Yisrael approached Moshe Rabbeinu after the Jewish people experienced Kabbalah HaTorah. We do remember that the tremendous, awesome experience at Har Sinai was much too much for the Bnei Yisrael. So they approached Moshe with Derech Eretz. As the Chumash says, after they heard Hashem's voice, and this is brought down in Perek Hey, pasuk chaf, and I'll repeat the pasuk. Vayehi kishama acha es hakol mitoch hachoshech v'ha'or boeh ba'esh. And as when you were listened and heard the voice of Hashem amidst the darkness, and the mountain was burning with fire. You came to me, kol roshei shivteichem, all the heads of the Bnei Yisrael properly, vizikneichem, and the elders, and they each one appealed to me in an appropriate way. That was admirable on the part of the Bnei Yisrael. But when the Bnei Yisrael asked to go ahead and bring about the Meraglim, the spies, that they should be able to buy out the land, they came all with a tremendous group of confusion. People were pushing one another. We got to go to Moshe. We got to ask him how and what way we need spies. We have him to pick them. It was so different at the time. And Moshe Rabbeinu inquired by Hashem, shall he go and send spies? So I'm going to quote Rashi at the beginning of the parasha, on the beginning of Shalach Lecha Anoshim, the very, very beginning. Rashi says the following. Rashi says, L'daitcha, for your das, if you want, I'll let you do it. Ani, for me, eini mitzav lecha. I'm not commanding you to do it. Im tircha, shalach. If you wish, then you can send. Why did he not say, really do it? I stand by it. I give you my blessings. No, he saw how they came about asking to send the Meraglim. He was very disappointed. And the result was, Hashem responded to Moshe. You want to go, not with my blessings, you can send them. I give you my word that I am going to let them make a mistake. There'll be a mokam, a place to make an error. B'divrei hamaraglim, l'man lo yirshua, in order that they shall not inherit the land. Hashem right away is hinting to Moshe Rabbeinu. The sending of the Meraglim is not with his approval. He's not stopping Moshe, but he's saying it's going to bring you tzaris. It's going to bring you trouble. And I don't think it's a good idea. We all know the story, and let's read some of the psukim to bring out some of the disastrous highlights that took place. He sent the Meraglim. And they returned. And I'm going to quote Pasuk Chav Zayin at the beginning of the parasha, at Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chav Zayin. I will read a few psukim. And they returned, Vayisapurlo, and they told to him, Vayomu, and they said, the Meraglim spoke up, Bonu el ha'odet ha'chu shalachtonu, we came to the land which you have sent us, V'gam zovat chol v'devash, and it's flowing milk and honey, he, that is, and look at the fruit, gigantic fruit. What a cluster of grapes that needed 8 people to carry, plus a pomegranate and a fig. However, they continue. Ephes, but ki azom hayoshe ba'aretz, the nation there that settled in the land is powerful. Ve'orim b'tzuras gedolos ma'od, and the city has fortified cities. We've seen gigantic people, giants roam the land. And they continue on to frighten the Bnei Yisrael. And when Kalev ben Yefuna hears this, the Pasuk says, Vayas Kalev es Ha'om, Moshe, and Kalev, who was one of the two Meraglim that didn't join the other 10, gets up and says, Bayomer, we surely would go up to the land. We certainly are capable of inheriting the land. And the response to Kalev, being outnumbered by 10, said, Asha'olu Imo, which went with Kalev, Amu, they said against Kalev, Lo Nuchal Alos Elo'am, we're unable to go up to that nation. Ki Chazak Hu Mimenu, because the nation is too strong for us. And Rashi comments, and this was a reference that they were saying, Chas V'Shalom, it's not able for Hashem to have the strength of bringing us into the land of Canaan. Such ridiculous talk they were capable of saying in public and getting the entire nation hysterical. And the Torah continues, V'yotziu dibas ha'oretz ashetaru aysa, and they spoke lashon hara against the land that they spied, b'nei Yisrael lemar, and they were saying to the Jewish people, ha'oretz asher avarnu v'alasur aysa, the land which we had just spied out, eretz acheles yashveho, it's a land that eats up its inhabitants, and the people that we've met there are giants. And the people are now petrified. They know nothing more than what they heard. And this calamitous report frightened the B'nai Yisrael, and they started complaining to Moshe and Aaron, all of the Jewish people. And he says, Lu masnu be'eretz Mitzrayim, had we better off died in the land of Egypt? Oy by midbar hazeh, lu masnu, had we wish we would die in the desert? Lo ma Hashem mevi aysan el aretz. Why is Hashem bringing us to this land? Linpo b'cherev, to fall by the sword. Nashenu v'tapenu, our wives and our children, yiyu lavaz, will become such public and shameful destructiveness. Halo tov lanu shuv Mitzrayim, isn't that better to go back to Egypt? This was the words that caused such a domino effect on Klal Yisrael. And the response at that point was, Vayipol Moshe v'Aaron al peneyem, and Moshe fell and Aaron on their faces, lefnei kol kol adas b'nei Yisrael, because they could not take such a tidal wave of aggression, of such words against Hashem. And at that time, Yeshua ben Nun gets up and he says, together with Kaleb ben Yefuna, he says, after they tear their garments, Vayomu, and they said, Al kol adas b'nei Yisrael lemar, before the Jewish people, the following, Ha'aretz asher avarnu bo l'asur oisa tova ha'aretz, Ma'od, ma'od. The land is very, very good. If Hashem wants to bring us there, in chofetz banu Hashem ve'hevi oisanu ala oretz hazoitz, if Hashem wants to bring us there, on the son of Anu, and bring us eretz ashehi zavas chalav esvash, to the land flowing with milk and honey, he can do it. But don't rebel against Hashem. This is the episode that took place, and that caused the Jewish people to start crying that night. And we know that night is Tisha B'Av, the night of Tisha B'Av that was famous, or infamous, I should say, for the destruction of the first and second base of Mikdash. Because Hashem said, if you cried tears of nothingness, I'll give you something to cry about. And that is what had happened. This was the beginning of the gullus that the Jewish people were going to experience. First, those people who spoke or died right away. And Hashem said, all the people who complained and cried that night and said, we don't want to go to Israel. We don't want to go to the land of Canaan to be killed there, us and our wives and children. Hashem says they won't go. Those from 20 of age and over will die in the desert, and only the children up to 20 will survive, and they will go. This terrible, terrible incident took place, and we are here still in Golis. I'm not sure if you are aware that this thing took place a day before they were about ready to cross the Jordan to going into Eretz Yisrael. At this point in history, had they not sent the Meraglim, because the Meraglim took 40 days to travel to the length and breadth of the land of Eretz Yisrael, but had they just gone and listened to Hashem and not questioned the authenticity of Hashem's promise that the land is good and the Jewish people will go into the land of flowing milk and honey without having to worry about the troubles that have resulted, they would have been in Israel after a day or so. But because of what has happened, the Bnei Yisrael were punished, and this is the history that took place in Parshas Shalach. Comes the Sefer Be'er Mechokek, written by the Tells of Rosh Yeshiva, Chaim, Harav Chaim Mordechai Katz, Zeche Tzadik Levracha, asks a question. If Hashem knew this in advance, why did he not tell Moshe Rabbeinu at the outset that I don't want you to go? I'm telling you now, no. Don't let the Jewish people go. Why did he say, I don't approve it? Want? You can send them. If Hashem knew all this, why did he let this happen? Why did he let Moshe send the Meraglim? And in the Rosh Yeshiva's response, how he explains this whole difficult question, it's in the shir of Hanhoga Bechinuch, and Hanhoga, an approach to education. This concept of how Hashem answered Moshe Rabbeinu borders on the concept of B'derech She'odim Rotzo Leilech Molichin Oso. Hashem leads the world the way a person wants to be led. Man learns from his experience. Hashem does not dictate a person's future. We were put on this world with bechira, with a choice. And if we choose well, we reap the benefits. If we choose ill, then we reap the destructiveness. Hashem doesn't dictate our lives. B'derech she'odim rotzo leilech molichin oso. Hashem saw from the very outset all of that that transpired. But he was not going to mix in into the rules of mankind, of how the world exists, with Teva, with the nature that we know is the nature of free will. Hashem didn't mix in by Cain and Hevel, although Hashem knew that Hevel was going to be killed by Cain. The world is managed with Bechira, and the world decided at the time of Noah that they lived a life of crime to the point where the crime and the immorality reached such a point that Hashem says, Kates Kol Basar, they had to suffer the consequences. Hashem does not mix in to the decisions you make, as this is part of the master plan of Hashem. Hashem knew at the very outset that this was going to be the result. He saw how they asked. They began their request with such a tumult, with such lack of derech eretz, with such a, we'll use the word, a mob mentality, where people were rushing, younger were pushing the older, people were just trying to get to Moshe. Moshe, we got to send Meraglim. There was no respect for the elders. People were just rushing ahead. Hashem was able to see at the very outset that this was not going to breed any bracha. Hashem could have said no to Moshe. But Hashem didn't, because Hashem saw right away that there was lack of derech eretz. Derech eretz is kodem l'Torah. Derech eretz, respect and decency to one another, comes even before learning Torah. He saw at the very outset. Should he have said, no, Moshe, don't send them. I tell you no. So what would this mob or this confused group would have said to Moshe? I know why Hashem is not letting us go. Because the land is not good. He doesn't want us to see it. So therefore, he's hiding it from us. This is what this group was going to say. So Hashem said, if this is how they act, if this is how they think, well, let the ball bounce and fall wherever it'll fall. Let it play out. Hashem knew at the beginning, with this kind of attitude, there was a lack of trust in Hashem. There was a lack of bitachon in Hashem. There was a lack of wanting to live in Eretz Yisrael. They looked for an excuse to come back and to frighten the Jewish people into not wanting to go to Eretz Yisrael, and having the whole Jewish people kind of gang up against Moshe and Aaron and Caleb ben Yefunah and Yehoshua ben Nun. They were sure that they would not end up going to Eretz Yisrael as they had planned, which is all part of their master plan. According to the Mephoshim, some say the reason why they did this is so that the Nesiim would not lose their position, because as soon as they would enter Eretz Yisrael, they would lose their higher position of Nasi. And there are various reasons behind that. But Hashem knew at the very outset that B'derech she'odem rotza lelech is malich nosa. Hashem doesn't take away your bechira, your choice. This is what you want, then this is what you get. And Hashem knew this from the very, very outset. Well, Hashem didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't send them. Hashem says, if this is what they want, I don't advise you, but if this is what they want, then let them go. Sometimes you can tell from the very, very beginning of something how the outcome would be, And I have a personal experience that perhaps would be able to shed light on the story of the Meraglim as well, or how Hashem viewed the behavior of the Meraglim and of the Jewish people at the time. I have a friend who I go for a chiropractic adjustment, and this chiropractor does not use the regular technique of, you know, setting a person down on the bed and kind of cracking some bones this way and moving the body that way and putting the spine a little bit the other way, and you can hear the bones and the neck and the different parts of the body move around and crack into place, which is, I had that experience myself many, many times. But this chiropractor uses a completely different method. It's called the torque release technique. What is that? He uses a tool, it's called integrator, that puts it on your back and focuses on a nerve and a muscle and sees where the body and the spine needs help. How does he see that? The position of your feet, the position of your heels, the way your feet are resting on his table. It's an incredible art. He sees if your body is not perfectly in that line, he knows exactly where to put this integrator, this tool, on that nerve, and gives it a little bit of a, like it's not a shock, of course. It's just it's operated with a spring that just shoves a little thing into your back, and all of a sudden, it moves that nerve into place, and then suddenly the spine reacts to it. I had many, many sessions with this doctor, and I felt much, much better without the other method of breaking or cracking the bones into place. What I'm telling you over here is that the doctor is able to see how healthy my spine is or how unhealthy it is in the position of where my feet and my heels are resting on his table. By looking at a certain position, he's able to tell right away how bad or how unhealthy my posture is, how my spine is, and how much therapy I need, and how many sessions he would advise him to come back. And I can tell you, I've gone to him many times, and I feel very, very different and very relieved. I'm bringing this out to you to bring out what Hashem saw. Hashem saw at the outset that there was corruption in Midas. There was corruption in their Emunah and Betachon. Their activity was totally on a road towards destruction. They were not interested in going to Eretz Yisrael, and they looked to complain. Hashem saw this before they left the desert to go into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore Hashem said to Moshe, no, I'm not going to tell you yes or no. That's your decision. But I don't think it's a good idea. And as a result, this whole incident that took place was a horrifying incident. And the Jewish people are suffering till today. Hashem was able to see from the very outset the attitude of the Bnei Yisrael towards wanting to settle in Eretz Yisrael, and how they listened with such complicity or complying to actually, if you think about it for a moment, was total nonsense. They've experienced so many miracles that to say that God can't bring you into Eretz Yisrael is ludicrous. To have to even accept a report like that should have generated a whole group of Jewish people to stone them to death for having even uttered the thought of Hashem is incapable of bringing them into Eretz Yisrael. Instead of that, they were complacent and then brought to fear and started to cry, and there was a rebellion against Moshe and Aaron. How did that happen? It happened because of the Meraglim frightening the Bnei Yisrael, and B'derech she'odim rotzo leilach is melichan oiso. The way a person wants to be led, that is how Hashem leads him. The result, on a positive level, Yehoshua ben Nun and Kalev ben Yefunah were given tremendous rewards. Yehoshua, because of his strong character and stood up against the tidal wave of criticism, became the next Jewish leader. Kalev ben Yefunah, with his MS, was able to go and be again a spy in Eretz Yisrael and come back with encouraging reports. He was rewarded together with Yehoshua ben Nun, all of the pieces of Eretz Yisrael that the Meraglim were supposed to get, and this ended up going to Yehoshua and Kalev ben Yefunah's family. Kalev ben Yefunah and Yehoshua ben Nun exhibited leadership. A leader is not someone who buckles at the thought that people are against him. He doesn't fall apart because there was opposition. A leader stands strong and stern. He's able to say the Devar Emes without being terrified. He stands up with respect and confidence, and this is what Yehoshua ben Nun and Kalev ben Yefunah did. They stood with strength and confidence against the Bnei Yisrael who are falling apart. Unfortunately, Bnei Yisrael, who are gullible to the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim, were unfortunately punished. That we know. And what we should be able to walk away from our parasha is to understand that our leaders who get up and lead Klal Yisrael with strength and confidence command the respect of Klal Yisrael, because they're not afraid to open up their mouths and say the MS. Just to mention a few, there are so many, you can mention hundreds, but just to mention a few, on the yeshivish literature world, we are all familiar with the Vilna Goyen. He was outspoken. He didn't care. He said what he had to say. We know the Chafetz Chaim, outspoken. He wasn't afraid. He said what he had to say. Reb Chaim Oizer fought against the extremists, against the reform and conservatives. We have Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Aaron Kotler, Zeichet Al-Gival, who established the Yeshivish movement here in America and transformed America. He gets up with strength and he leads the B'nai Torah. And when he started off, he would go collect money, $5, what's called a donation. And our present Gadol, which we're all very familiar with, Rav Avigdor Miller, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, who was not afraid of anything, who got up and said what he had to say, like it or lump it. He didn't care of the criticism that came his way. He spoke emes. He became a loving, acceptable leader. And in the Hasidic world, the Satmar Rav Zecher Tzadik Livracha fought violently for the emes. The Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal fought tooth and nail for the emes. The Gerber Rebbe Zatzal, the Klausenberg Rebbe, the Bobova Rebbe, the whole Hasidic dynasties all got up and picked themselves up from the ashes of Auschwitz and the Holocaust and created a whole generation, a whole army of B'nai Torah who are adherent to the Torah, mitzvahs, and its customs. Yes, all following the simple example, Derech Eretz is Kodmo LaTorah, and if that is in front of you, then B'derech Adam Rotzo Leilech Molichin Oso. The way a person wants to be led, that is how Hashem leads that person. I would like to share with you my own personal Derech that applied to my mother, Aleha Shalom. My mother, Aleha Shalom, had this mitzvah uppermost in her life that she was very strong and impressing upon us children. You gotta wash negovasa. You get up, your hands are tamei, because the body is partially dead, the tumor goes on your fingernails. Every one of us children have to wash negovasa. We wash our hands appropriately. It's three times in each hand alternately. That's one, two, three, but one, one, two, two, three, three. My mother, Lev Shalom, was very strict about this. My sister, she's now a grandmother, Baruch Hashem, when a little kid, she was 6 or 7, had gotten up, she was late to school, she went to going to Beis Yaakov, she ran out of the house, and she forgot to wash negovasa. My mother called up the principal in a panic, please, pull out my daughter. Pull out Rachel Sheva. And I want you to stand by her and watch her wash negovasa. Yes, this was something very important to her. Well, this has to do with what I'm going to tell you right now. I was the only person, or I should say the last person, to have spoken to my mother before she passed away. I got up one morning, there was Shri Yishol Pesach, and I had to go to the washroom. My mother was there, so I saw the door was locked. So I said, my mother screams out, so I'm coming right out. No, no, ma, there's a bathroom downstairs. I don't have to, don't worry. Fine. Went to the washroom, then went back to bed. It was Shri Yishol Pesach, was Yom Tov, and I still had time before I went to Minyan. And all of a sudden, my father wakes me up. Hatzal is here. Get up. What happened? Mommy fainted. What happened? Where? Who? How? My mother, she gets up, washed negovasa, brought negovasa to my father, went back to the bathroom and had a heart attack and passed away. The last mitzvah she did in her life was Netilah Shadayim, negovasa. And I said at her funeral, B'derech she'odem rotzo leilech molichin I say. The way a person wants to be led, Hashem will lead him. And with a little twist in the words, B'derech she'odem rotzo leilech ba'olam hazeh, the way a person wants to be led in this world, molichin I say. They will lead him to olam haba in the same way. That was her last mitzvah, negovasa. Whatever we do, if we invest in mitzvahs, whatever it is, Hashem will help you fulfill it. There isn't a mitzvah that Hashem cannot help you. B'derech she'odem rotzo leilech, molichin oso. but it has to be prefaced with Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah. You have to want to be committed to it. You have to have the Derech Eretz, the respect, commitment, and the understanding you're doing the right thing. Then Hashem will help you. And if Chas V'Shalom, a person is not committed to doing the right thing, like in our case of the Meraglim, Hashem doesn't stop you. Hashem leads you that way. If that's what you want to do, He doesn't stop you. But you all have the opportunity, with Hashem's help, to do the right thing. But Derech Adam Rotzo Lelech is Malichin Oso. Let us all try. Let's try to daven for the right path to take. Let Hashem help us and guide us, choosing the right way. Because He loves us all and wants us to make the right choices and make the right decision. May we learn from this parasha that Hashem is waiting for each and every ben and bas Yisrael to realize his and her potential, to do mitzvahs to the level that they excel in. But they have to want to do it. They have to have a desire to achieve it. And if a person can bring himself to that level, Hashem promises you success. May you all be matzliach and have success in your journey in doing Torah, mitzvahs, and ma'asim tovim, and good deeds. Have a wonderful week. Have a good day.